Hello and welcome back to another episode. And today, as the title implies, it is the last episode of Schlide Into Sports for this semester, which means that the last few episodes of the year will be recorded at my house and will feature a new Christmas edition logo that'll be seen at the end of today's episode. But that's not the main thing that we're going to talk about today. Today, I want to talk a little bit about the contrast between college football and professional football and how there is now a bridge forming between the two, since they are slowly starting to become more similar as the years go by. And I think to start that, I guess, like, the reason why it kind of started is because of NIL and kind of what that, like, the concept of it and what it introduced to college football. It's not necessarily in the way the game is played, like, because, I mean, there's some obvious differences of how the game is played, like how the NFL, they use different equipment, like, for play calling and just, like, basic stuff like that. But also, like, kind of, like, just kind of on the financial and reputation side with amateurism versus professional athletes. So let's jump in a little bit further. So some more obvious differences between professional and college footballers are that the NFL gets their players from the NCAA, like, in the draft. They have to be in college football. Like, they have to play college ball for at least 3 years. The NCAA does, like, when each college team brings people on their team, it's a little bit different. They could either use the transfer portal or they can recruit out of high school. And the transfer portal, how they find people in the transfer portal is based on NIL value. So this is kind of how NIL makes college football and the NFL kind of similar with how, like, just like the concept of bringing people on to their team through the transfer portal. With the NIL, like, each player is assigned a certain value based on, like, how good they are. So in football, that's weighted on, like, how many stars they have, and that's based on their stats throughout the season. So, like, you could be going for, like, a 5-star quarterback or maybe, like, a 3-star wide receiver or whatever you're trying to get. But every college, like an NFL team, has a budget, and it is limited. So you can either spend more money on a quarterback. So I think lots of quarterback values are in the millions somewhere, like in the, like, one, like, 2 million range, probably at max. But you'll see a lot of people, sometimes they'll spend more money on quarterbacks depending on what their wide receiver room looks like or what their offensive line room looks like, or just, or even on the defensive side, like, they'll spend more money there. Like, it really depends on the team's needs. But they also know that there's going to be people on their team that are going to be probably hitting the transfer portal as well. Whether or not that's to just, like, see what their value is, or if they're trying to go to a different team, or if, like, their coach leaves for a different team and they want to go with their coach. Like, it really all depends on a lot of different factors. But that, because of the NIL, with that, like, the concept of looking at players' values, like, it's almost like the NFL draft, where, like, the first pick is worth a certain amount of money, and then that value starts to slowly go down as, like, the pick gets lower in number. And in that way, I think it kind of leads college sports into, like, it's starting to become more of a professional environment. Because when you think of college sports, you think of amateurism and how, like, every game matters. And, you know, like, in the NFL, it's not exactly the same like that. Like, you have to, like, every game matters in the NFL, but it's a little bit different in the sense that, like, with the draft, if you're lower, or like, sometimes teams are seen to, like, try to tank for a better draft pick, like, towards the end of the season if they know they're not going to make the playoffs, or, like, just stuff like that, or if they don't want a team in their division, like, in their, not division, conference, if they don't want it, like, in their conference, like the AFC West conference, like, with the whole, thing with the Raiders and the Chargers both being able to go to the playoffs, but because they're in the same division, like they're both in the AFC West. And if they tied in that game, they both could have gone to the playoffs. But the Raiders did not want the Chargers in the playoffs just because. So they chose to not tie the game and beat the Chargers in overtime. So the Raiders ended up going to the playoffs and forcing the Chargers out of the playoffs. But because of the NIL, like it kind of, because I mean, now like you see, especially with the whole thing with Florida State, how we're now looking at teams not seeing the bowl games matter as much, like if they're not in the playoffs. Like we've seen stories about how Florida State, they could boycott the Orange Bowl, or how if Florida State wins the Orange Bowl, that it doesn't change anything because Georgia players aren't going to be playing because they're trying to get into the draft and not get injured. Like they're, all of that stuff kind of opens up now that we're looking at Florida State not making it into the playoffs. And in that sense, it makes the bowl games mean less, which is kind of like the last few games of the NFL season. Like it makes it matter less if you're not going to make it to a championship, like if you're guaranteed to not make a championship. So it's like, okay, we're just going to tank because we want better draft picks. In college, you can't really tank per se because you don't get draft picks. It kind of has the opposite effect if you tank. But the bowl games now, instead of it being like a unique way to see how teams from different conferences line up against each other, it's more of let's see how the rookies, I guess, or like the let's just see what the team's going to look like next year in a sense. And the NFL, like when they're tanking, they kind of do that too because they put out players that maybe like are on the bench instead of putting out their starting lineup, which is kind of what college teams are going. Like that's the direction they're heading with those bowl games. Like if they don't make it into the final games. And kind of speaking on Florida State, because you know that's still. There's been a lot of developments that I've seen with Florida State. I've seen some rumors that Florida State now is going to try to make a move to the Big Ten, which would be huge for a lot of reasons. I think a lot of people were probably expecting Florida State to go to the SEC because it's in that region. But at the same time, when you look at the whole thing with Florida State and the SEC did try to get Florida State in the past, but Florida State did not want to join the SEC for reasons of their own. But, you know, I think at this point, Florida State is not going to join the SEC just out of spite for the way ESPN's been treating them. And since ESPN broadcasts the games for the SEC, they're like, no. Like, no, we're not even going to give them the time of day. But you also look at the broadcasting kind of aspect of how college football and NFL football are kind of like getting bridged together, and how the broadcasters have a little bit more influence, it seems, on college football. I mean, we look at the decision. We look a little bit deeper into the decision of the committee leaving Florida State out of the playoffs. We can look at the average viewership of Florida State and Alabama games. Bama has more average views than Florida State. So if you think about it from that perspective, like with the business aspect, you think, oh, if we put Bama in, they're going to get more views because they have more views per game. But I think and since ESPN is broadcasting all these games, they're going to try to influence the decision of the committee to get people to say, okay, we want Bama in the playoffs because of the quarterback situation at Florida State. They were really selling all their viewers and the committee on Florida State's quarterback situation not being good enough to be in the playoffs. We also can look at it from a long-term standpoint, and this is where I think it goes bad for ESPN and the SEC and college football. Like, it kind of tarnishes the amateurism aspect and the every game matters, because I think when you omit Florida State from the playoffs like that, it sends a message that not every game matters. Like, it doesn't matter if you go undefeated. It doesn't matter if you have a backup and a third string that get the job done, like they get the wins that they need to get, that they were basically asked to get by ESPN. They pretty much said that if Florida State doesn't get the wins, that they're not going to make it in. And then once Florida State got the wins, ESPN was like, well, the quarterback situation wasn't good enough in those games to get them into the playoffs. So it's all, they were just selling a bunch of stuff on Florida State, and that they couldn't get in, even though Florida State did what ESPN asked and did what and that's what the committee wanted. Like, they wanted Florida State to win. It was pretty much, if Florida State won, they were guaranteed to make it in, and they did, and they didn't get in. I think something else that kind of has an influence in the decision as well, that is kind of underlying, is the state of Florida and Disney are in a lawsuit at the moment, I think, still. And Disney owns ESPN, so I think they didn't want a team from the state of Florida to make it in the playoffs in the first place, because they didn't want to give Florida, any school from Florida, that kind of attention and that kind of money out of spite. I know, like, that there's been a debate on whether or not, like, the best teams or most deserving teams should be in the playoffs. But I think, in the sense, like, based on the committee's criteria and also just, like, what college football is all about, I think, not because I hate Alabama, but because teams like Florida State, who went through the adversity that they did with their quarterback situation, being without Jordan Travis, they should have had a shot in the playoffs and not just dismissed because of that. I mean, I think, because that's why, like, teams keep fighting. Like, if Florida State knew they weren't gonna be in the playoffs because of their quarterback situation, they would have stopped trying. They would have been like, okay, cool, we're just going to look to next season. But no, they kept fighting because they knew they should have still had a shot at the playoffs, and they were still fighting for that spot. And I think they should have been rewarded for that. But no, they were not. You know, I did also hear, like, with the college football, like, how, in my mind, this kind of makes college football almost like high school football, in the sense that high school football, like, you develop players to go to college. And in the end, like, in college football, you kind of do that. Like, you build players up to make it to the NFL. But it's going a step further from what I've seen. Like, how colleges or conferences are going to develop players for, like, specific NFL teams. Like, Ohio State maybe would develop players specifically for the Cincinnati Bengals, or Washington developing players specifically for the Seattle Seahawks. And they would have, like, NFL people inside of the colleges to, like, facilitate all of that. So in that sense, it's going to bridge college football and NFL football, like, just even closer together and make it more connected in that way, even though I don't really think they need to do that, just because, I mean, the NFL only brings people in from college football in the first place. So it seems a little bit of an overstep there, but, you know, I guess money talks, I guess. I think also the decision for leaving FSU out of the playoff, it kind of tarnishes the reputation aspect of, well, not only college football, but also the committee. And honestly, the reputation of the committee has been in question for a long time based on the decisions they've made. It really seems to fluctuate just based on, like, I don't know. It really seems like the requirements almost change every year, if that makes sense. Like, they always make a decision based on something different, like to leave a team out. But yeah, I mean, who knows, like, in the future with this new 12-team playoff, if they're going to keep the committee based on what happened this year with the playoffs, or if they're going to, like, and they're going to use a different poll entirely, or if they're going to change the format of the committee, or I know, like, the AP poll is a fairly reliable poll and it's pretty popular, but, I mean, they might use a completely different poll. Who knows? I mean, they have a lot, NCAA has a lot of decisions to make regarding the decision on how teams are going to be decided to be into the playoffs. Like, who's going to decide the rankings for that? Like, who's going to decide who? Well, I mean, the top four should be obvious. Like, there's Power Four conferences, conference championship winners are going to be in the top four, but who's going to decide who goes in those other spots? I think that is the important question going into next year. All right. I think we've all heard enough about Florida State being left out of the college football playoff for a little bit. But I just really think it shows how college football is starting to really go into more of a professional athlete aspect and kind of leaving the amateur athlete behind in that sense. Like, the NIL and the Florida State thing, like, it really shows how college football is starting to become more professional, which I'm not sure if that's a good thing for college football. But speaking of professional football, I wanted to talk a little bit about the NFL today, specifically the Chiefs versus Bills game on Sunday. And before I start, do you guys think that the refs should have called the offensive offsides on the Chiefs? Because I think the refs did the right thing in making that call. I mean, we can let's just look at the picture of the line, like just the line of scrimmage before the snap. I mean, you can clearly see that Kadarius Toney is way offsides. His foot is almost past the ball on the snap. Like, it's almost over that digital line of scrimmage that's on the screen. But he's just, I mean, some people are saying that because the refs can give a warning to the players if they're offsides, like for offense. But people were saying that maybe he didn't get a warning. But if you watch the replay, like, it clearly shows that he was looking both directions, but it doesn't look like he was really looking at the refs. He was just kind of going through the motions. So they had no way to really give him a warning. Honestly, the thing that gets me here is the reaction by Mahomes after he goes to the sidelines after being forced off the field by the Bills defense. And I say forced off because he had three other opportunities to make a similar play or to make another game-winning play. He just let that play get into his head, and then that affected the rest of the game that was to be played. Like, you can't let you can't let one play affect the outcome of the game. Like, if you're the quarterback, like, you can control the outcome of the game. Like, you still have three plays. Like, the game's not over. But I mean, it looked like after that, he just felt like the game was over, or that it should have been. Like, he was living in the what should have been, when he should have been living in the moment of what is now, where he had three plays left in the game. At least, like, if he had converted, he could have still had another set of four plays. But no, the play just, it got into his head. You know, when he's on the sidelines, like, he's throwing his helmet around and he's like trying to throw hands with the refs and he's yelling, and his whole team had to hold him back and everything. But I mean, see players do stuff like this all the time. I mean, I think that reaction is normal, relatively. But, I mean, to be honest, I'm surprised he wasn't mad at Kadarius Toney. Like, he was the one that forced the call. He was, like, he was the cause of the call. And, I mean, it didn't look like he was mad at him at all. Like, they, even in, like, in the press conference, too, like, they put all the blame on the refs, even though it really should not have all been on the refs. Although, I did see that Kadarius was offside several other times in the game, but it was not called. So, there are some people that are saying maybe that's what they were talking about with the referee calling, but I think, in my mind, it doesn't really go to that. It goes more to, like, they were saying that we need to let the players play the last, like, 2 minutes of the game without calls. But, I mean, in my mind, that basically says, okay, the last 2 minutes, the rules should go out the window. But I think, I don't think they should go completely out the window. Like, if it's blatant, like it was with Kadarius on that play, it should be called. But like in the Super Bowl, one of the Eagles players got called for pass interference when he was covering Juju Smith-Schuster on one of the last plays of the game. And because the refs called it, even though, I mean, we'll show the replay, but
Mahomes, pressure, lofting one, end zone incomplete. Juju Smith-Schuster couldn't catch up. There's a flag at the 10. Hang on, there's a penalty.
Prior to the pass, holding, number 24, defense, 5-yard penalty, automatic.
Yeah, that's worst case scenario. You'll see James Bradberry. They're going to say he grabs him. He's got his left hand on his back. I don't know. Mike, listen, I think on this stage, I think you let him play. Obviously, Mahomes thought he saw it. I think you let him play.
He's just covering him. Like, he's not, like, grabbing him or anything, and it had no effect on the play. But when you look at the replay, you see Patrick Mahomes pointing and yelling at the referee, and then the ref throws the flag. I mean, there's other calls like that, even throughout this season, where calls like that have gone the Chiefs' way. Like, you look at the Jets, like, they got called for pass interference late, like, well after the play. Well after the pass interference had happened, even though there wasn't a pass interference, like, it didn't affect the play. The wide receiver was nowhere near the ball, and the Jets got an interception, and the refs are the flag, and bail the Chiefs out there. You also look at the Vikings, where the Chiefs player thought he was called for pass interference. He took his helmet off when he wasn't supposed to, and the refs backed out of the call, and they bailed the Chiefs out again there. So I just think it's a little ironic that now they're like, oh, well, we want stuff to play out. Like, we don't want the refs involved, when the refs have bailed the Chiefs out on many occasions in their games. The thing that really gets me, though, here is is when he goes to meet Josh Allen in the middle of the field. Like, just what he says. Instead of congratulating Josh Allen on winning the game fair and square, he goes, and he's just complaining about the refs to Josh Allen. And Josh Allen just wants to say good game and then just congratulate the other Chiefs players. Like, I mean, seems a little bit overboard. But, you know, like, and other Chiefs players like Travis Kelce, like, he wasn't complaining about the call. Like, and actually Josh Allen brought up the call to Travis Kelce and said that, like, it was a good play and it was unfortunate that it got called back. But, you know, they said congratulations to each other and wish each other well and everything. So, I mean, it really shows that maturity level that Mahomes doesn't really have. I've seen lots of memes online of, like, all the Kermit memes because, you know, people call Patrick Mahomes Kermit. And I've also seen some. Yeah, there's a lot of memes online, basically, as soon as the game was over. But yeah, no, like with the Super Bowl, like after the Super Bowl, you can't have it both ways. You can't have it where, oh, we want it to play out. Oh, but we don't actually want it to play out. Like, you can't have it to where it only benefits you. That's not how it works. That's not how rules work. Rules are not, rules don't have an opinion. They're just there. Like, they're there to have, there's set boundaries on the game, you know? Like, they don't care who you are. They don't care if you won the Super Bowl last year. Like, they're there to set boundaries for the game so that way it is fair. Because, I mean, if rules go out the window the last 2 minutes of the game, and I did see someone edit a picture of Kadarius Toney being offsides, and they put him up way further than he was. But, like, if rules went out the window, then that would be allowed. Like, he'd be able to go up that far if rules just went out the window, you know? Like, oh, we don't care. Like, just let them play. Okay, we're just going to let the offensive line just creep up way past the neutral zone. I think that sounds right. You know, if as long as it's the Chiefs and it benefits them, you know, I think that's what should happen. That is absolutely what should happen. You know, at least that's what they're thinking in their mind. All right, that's all for today's episode. For the streamed episodes and streams over break, I expect to see a link pop up, like, on the days there's a basketball game starting. And that's going to start next week because I'm going to be in West Lafayette this Saturday to watch the Arizona-Purdue game live. So I'm not going to be able to stream. So I plan on recording, like, probably on Tuesday, like, when. Because normally there's a lot of basketball games on Tuesday, so I'm going to start streaming then. And those episodes are also going to be streamed. They're not going to be recorded. So if you guys want to, like, come on and talk about whatever, then you can. Yeah, thank you guys for coming. Peep the other social medias for announcements on, like, specific times on episode releases and streams over break. And I'll see you all next time.